Good afternoon, Lisa. How are you?
Good, thanks, Robert. How are you?
I'm the same, thank you. I wanted to talk to you today about the work you've been doing with regard to the psychic reading. How was things before we did the reading?
My life, not good, not bad, just very indifferent. It was okay, humming along nicely. And then you introduced me to Maureen and then the whole reading process, and it just changed my life.
We're going to see how that worked. My recall is that you had separated from your husband and father of your two children, and that you were pretty good friends still, but really life was going nowhere. The kids had grown and got older, and still it just felt stuck to me. Is that a fair...
That's quite accurate. It was just, you know, one day, the next day, stuck. Just not going anywhere. Not going forward, not going backward. Nothing was really bad. Nothing was really fantastic. Just not going anywhere.
And for years, that had been the case.
Well, for many years. Many years.
So then we come along and we did the reading with Maureen. I've known you for very many years. We'd done a lot of work, and quite often we kept on nearly getting there, didn't we? Just about getting there, but just something would never quite put us over the line on this one.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's nigh on 15 years that we've been working toward this goal of release. As you said, we'd get so close, work through this, work through that, the journaling, the letters, the talking about it, and it just couldn't quite get there. There was just something missing, something, and I felt like I was doing all the work, I was doing all the journaling, I could feel stuff moving, but there was just that one thing, could not wrap my head around it.
And the interesting thing is that since doing the reading, we're using the same, almost exactly the same strategies, but this time they're working.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Written the letters, I've done the journaling, but since the reading and the information that was given to me by Maureen and Eloise, it was just, of course, I had no reason to trust it. It just resonated. It felt so true.
Can you recall what information you had at the time? What information came through from the psychic reading through Maureen?
Well, Maureen enlightened me. I think the first bit of information was that I was a water sprite and just sitting observing the world around me. And I could go forward if I wanted to, but really wasn't fast either way.
There was a lovely place, wasn't it? It was all calm,
very lovely serene. Place.
And just a nice place to sit, but going nowhere.
Oh, absolutely. I could see everything and I had the potential to move everything and to break through, but wasn't really interested one way or the other. And then the next part of the reading was that I was a young boy, a young man. My name was Joseph. I think I was about 16, 17 years of age. And I was married to the love of my life, Hildegard. We made a vow to each other that our love would be true and forever. And forever.
Yes. And the word was forever.
Forever and ever and eternity.
That was in a past life.
That was in a past life. That's correct.
Yes. The hint was when you said you were a boy.
That's true. That's true. I think it was the 1700s or thereabouts.
It was back in the 1700s, yes.
Yeah. That was true and forever. And I still remember sitting in my chair listening to this reading and the tears that flowed from me when she was doing this reading. I was sobbing. And I thought, this is just a lady giving me this information about a past life. How is that relevant to me now?
Just a story after all, wasn't it?
Mm. And a beautiful story. Maureen spoke about it so lovely and you were just so captured by the story, but it was just a story, that's right. But it hit me and the tears flowed and the emotion that I felt. I felt quite silly, actually, but it was beautiful.
The interesting thing is I've taken records for about 200 stories now.
Yeah.
And all of them are different. All of them are unique and not two that anywhere near the same. Then Eloise said, well, Rob, you need to have your own reading. Okay, so I did the reading. So I started sitting there and writing. That was such a different experience because all these ones were me. They were all about me and they were hitting me. And I was going, whoa, I'll never, ever forget it. It was such a totally different experience to have those stories. And that's when I realized these stories are unique and accurate and exact.
You can't fake that emotion. You just can't fake it. It's so true and so real.
So what happened? Do you remember?
They married. They were both very young and very much in love, and she was pregnant.
17 Hildegard, and 16, if I remember correctly.
Sounds familiar. Hildegard was pregnant with their first child, and unfortunately she passed in childbirth. So he lost both of them. I had this overwhelming feeling of devastation. Like it happened to me. That's what the emotion felt like.
Yeah. I do recall it, and you're quite right. It was happening to you at the time.
Yeah. You know, and it's fun. I only, as I say that now, that's what I recall. Like it felt like it was happening to me. I don't think I made that connection at the time. But thinking about it now, yeah, it absolutely felt like it was happening to me.
And it was what was happening was you were losing the love of your life.
Yeah.
And because you made the vow, you vowed to stay true forever. You were being a good girl. You kept the vow through life after life after life forever.
And it has stopped me in this life. And it wasn't until we made that connection that the light bulb went off on the top of my head and I went, oh, I felt that I was tethered to the past, to that moment in time. I couldn't get to that last part.
Close, but couldn't quite make it once again. After the reading, what happened then? How was it after the reading?
I felt a little bit enlightened, and it was a bit of epiphany, I suppose, that, that explains everything. There was no reason why I should believe that, but it just explained everything.
And you still held on.
I did.
You did not want to let Hildegard go.
I developed an adoration for her, I suppose is probably the best way of putting it. Yeah. I just felt this immense connection to her after the reading. I wrote letters to her and I couldn't get that I could write back from her, but she would have conversations in my head and then I'd write another letter and we became really good friends and it was just lovely. And I remember speaking to you and you saying, well, okay, it's time to let her go. And I said, no, I don't want to.
I do remember that conversation. Yeah.
But this is the most beautiful relationship. Why would I want that to go?
That was a once-in-an-existence experience. And I think you'd never, ever had that experience before. And you didn't want to let it go. It's certainly different than any other experience, any other loving experience you'd had on this planet since in this life.
Oh, my word. Standing back and looking what I was doing, it was, Lisa, you're writing letters to yourself, get over yourself. But the emotion, the internal emotion and feelings, it was just amazing. The trust I had sharing with this woman and the complete feeling of total and undeniable love, it was just awesome.
There was a time there I come away and thought, she never wants to let Hildegard go.
You didn't think I would do it.
I was wondering if you would ever be able to do it. Yes, it was so powerful.
Yeah, it was very powerful. It's even difficult to explain.
What was it that got you over the line when you finally let go of Hildegard?
That's a good question. I think in saying what I wanted to say, we had the conversations backward and forward, just a couple of letters, but more conversations in my head, if you will. I said what I needed to say, and I just felt she's got my back. I can let her go. And I think there was also the conversation we had, well, I'm hanging on to her. Joseph's hanging on to her. She's hanging on to somebody. Someone has to let go so that we can all move on. And I think ultimately that was the decision I needed to make was, okay, look, I think we're all good. I know they're there and I know she'll be there if ever I needed to call on her. I think that's what it was.
I had this rather brilliant epiphany and the guides tell me, Robert, if you ever have anything brilliant coming to mind, it's us. And if it's something really stupid, it's you. So brilliant epiphany was given to me by the guides.
Yes.
And they said she is also just a stuck and she needed to be let go of because holding on to her was holding her back in the same way because she was in another life somewhere or whatever she was doing. So I think you wrote a letter back from her to yourself, didn't you?
I don't think she wrote back to me. I wrote, it's okay. It's okay. You know, there is no way I will ever feel that she doesn't love and support me. And therefore, I could let her go. And after I did that, I'm getting a bit emotional. After I did that, it was such a brilliant experience. There was just like a weight had lifted. I mean, we went through the process of and I revoked the vows connecting us all. But the assumption was at the time of the reading that there was this connection for me with Joseph. but I think it was more Hildegard. Without the experience with Maureen and Eloise, I would never have got to where I'm at.
Well, we worked at it for 20 years.
We did. Every couple of years I'd come back and say, all right, Robert, we need to, you know, have another crack. Mm. To your credit, we got further every little bit of a time, but there was always something. The tools we have, this is as far as we can get with it. Yeah, it's like treating the symptom without actually being able to treat the disease. It's a horrible explanation.
It's a beautiful explanation, because that's what we're addicted to doing, is treating symptoms, when in fact we've got to get to the exact specific and precise spot. And the exact specific and precise spot in this case was the death of Hildegard and the devastation that you, Joseph, felt when Hildegard was taken in birth.
Yeah.
You had each committed yourselves to each other forever. The word is, you had to revoke the vow, because you can't take the vow back.
Yes.
You can revoke them and you can't break it. Bad karma. But you had to revoke the vow.
Breaking the vow to me felt like disloyalty. I don't make a promise to break it.
And that's when you start getting experiences to learn that you can't break those vows, because in the spirit world, there are rules you have to follow. And one of those rules is that, number one, the guides have a rule. They'll never tell you what to do, and they'll never ever take control. They'll only guide you. It's up to you to get it. And that's what you did in this case. You got it. Still see you standing there looking at Hildegard as she's died of childbirth. I can still feel your devastation.
Even now, it brings the emotion to the forefront. I'm not gutted by it when I first heard it, but it just sort of, yep, that was real.
You're a lady that comes from a position of love. You just love everyone.
That was another thing with going through all this. I allowed myself to say that is my purpose in life, to give and receive love. It's okay. I don't have to explain it or not explain it. That's it. That's okay.
Lisa, as you're talking, I'm really loving this conversation, because you are full of love. It just keeps coming across. It's just wonderful. Just hold on to that, because it's very, very special. It's really, really beautiful, Lisa. Really beautiful.
Thank you. It's been a long road to get to that. The whole thing with Maureen and Eloise, the reading and yourself, it's exploring this new world and all that it has to offer. It's so exciting, and being told the name of my guide and what she wants for me and what she's going to help me do. And it's very exciting. I actually feel ready to embrace the true me, not what everyone else wants or expects, but just what I want and what I need.
And I'm just as excited as what you are still. It's one of those things, it doesn't wear off. It stays.
I think being early into the piece, I'm still looking for that validation. It's a bit like when someone's ill. Am I really ill, or is it just I'm being a hypochondriac? Is it for real? Trusting my intuition, that's the key.
And that's trusting those underlying just pleasant little feelings which are guiding you, and not taking on the emotional ones which are trying to stop you.
There's more a sense of calm in me now, not this roller coaster of emotion. It's just calm, traveling along.